Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast Filmmaker Edition, Ozu Edition. Right? In our second attempt.
Oh sorry, this one is silent, so we don't get to say his name.
This week we're gonna be talking about his 1953 film Tokyo Story, which involves a tale of a married couple who head into Tokyo from the to go and visit their children and their busy lives, to just go and catch up on life and see what's going on. Douglas, I know you've been waiting. You've been waiting for this. This is the moment that you were expecting when I said we're going to talk about Yasujirō Ozu. This is his contemplative work discussing families and how they grow apart as everyone grows up. Or as you like to call it,
Shenanigans.
I don't know what
you are prompting me there for.
I was looking for the word meandering. Because you wrote that word.
I did write that word and I meant it.
So please speak on the meandering.
Yeah, so this movie, this isn't quite what I expected when you said the name Ozu to me, but it's getting closer to it now. This movie was very much like the last movie we watched. There was a lot of, as you said, Andrew, what I would call meandering. The story went round and round, and there were a lot of bits and pieces that never... there was a connection, but it didn't always connect in the way maybe you would want it to connect to have a fairly straight and followable story, through line for a story. But clearly for me, and as I was watching this movie, and this movie is fucking long, by the way, as I was watching this movie, I realized that the main difference between this and Ohio is that Ohio has shenanigans, lovable, laughable shenanigans. Exactly. They've got sound effects for pooping, sound effects, well, actually lack of sound effects for pooping, and all sorts of other rubbish that I can sit down and distract me from the comings and goings of randomness. This doesn't have that, and so you have to then focus on the randomness and try to enjoy it, which unfortunately I didn't for this movie. And I have a feeling that now Damon is going to love this movie. I know you like this movie, but it's going to be hilarious.
This
when
is one of the ones that I saw before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going to be hilarious when I finish and we cut to Damon, and Damon's like, finally, a good movie. But I didn't enjoy this movie. Not to say that there weren't things to be liked, right? It still had, though it was in black and white, it had the it had the same sort of care and care to how each frame was presented, how each shot was made, and everything looked pretty, looked
what,
real good.
What I actually noticed about the filmmaking, watching it this time again, and I guess it was also in Ohio, and now I'm expecting it to be in all of his movies, is something that I didn't really ever notice until, I guess, I saw this video on the Coen brothers. I know you've watched me watch this video. Talking about...
Take, Double Take, or whatever it is.
Talking about the conversation scenes and how they're filmed, and how... Roger Deakins and the Coens always do it in singles, where the camera is put in between the conversation and you're looking directly at the person, and you have to imagine that he's then looking at the person and they switch between. And the only thing that I could say differing, other than technology and time and all of these things, has to be the fact that, like, unlike Roger Deakins and the Coens, like, there's an expressive, open expressiveness to how the Coen brothers' scenes move, where you kind of see people moving their arms around, moving their faces, everything is changing around, And not to say that there's no expression in an Ozu conversation, but there's definitely a heightened level of it in the Coen brothers that isn't in here. And it was just nice for me to just catch that and be like, oh, that's what he's doing. He's creating this moment for you, the viewer, mm-hmm. where you're kind of now a part of the conversation as opposed to being over a shoulder, kind of feel like you're just waiting for it to culminate.
Mm-hmm. And there's this visual thing that I noticed he did in this movie and he's done in his last movie. And it's that there's almost a level of depth to a lot of his shots, because how he does it, and actually, I feel like this movie could have almost been filmed the same place as the last movie. They're very similar landscapes, very similar scenescapes. And you even have like that hill that's right beside the, let's call it town, I don't know, or neighborhood. But when he is filming inside somebody's house, so it seems that the architecture is very uniform. And you know, it's like little boxes, and they have all of these sliding doors that, so if you put your camera to face one sliding door, you could effectively open sliding doors for days and view all the way down through each and every person's living room. And what he does is he'll have action at one level, so in one person's house, and then a door will close, and then there'll be action in another house, and then a door will open. And so you're able to, without actually moving the camera, see multiple things happening at sometimes the same time, sometimes in stages. And that's really cool. And that's the thing about this guy. The visual stuff, great. But I think my main problem with this movie was that about 5 minutes in, I said, oh, this is a movie about ungrateful children. And about 5 hours later, it turned out to be a movie about ungrateful children. And it was just, it kept going round and round a mulberry bush. And
I don't have a mulberry
bush. Yeah, I don't have.
The weirdest part is, I think ungrateful children is almost a harsh way
to put it. Yeah, right? It is a harsh way to put it. Absolutely.
Right. Because the truth of the matter is that what I love about this movie is kind of the same thing, and I think a little toned down, to what Kurosawa did in Ikiru. Right?
Don't do this. Don't do this.
Where he's kind of framing the conversation, not necessarily about being ungrateful, but just that life's complicated and things change, and they're like, even the way the movie starts, and you guys can tell me how wrong I am on this, because this part's easy, as it relates to their entrance into the children's lives back in Tokyo, it definitely felt like they were like, yeah, let's go visit our kids, right? I don't know how much preparation was done to kind of say, all right, they're coming in next month, we're going to iron out this time so we can be with our parents and show them a good time. And it's one of those things which just have to happen in life, where eventually your child gets so, let's not say successful, but so busy, mm-hmm. that what else can they do? And it's the same thing that your child will do to you eventually. And even at one point, they're at a bar and they're all talking about their children being successful and talking about how proud they are of their children being successful, even when they eventually start to minimize that success, to be like, well, I thought he was like a big-time doctor, but he's a neighborhood doctor, and that's still good, right?
No, so they, at least for me in that scene, they didn't minimize success. They fucking obliterated their children. Mm-hmm. They were like, I'm so upset with them. They are, I think, it was a stronger word than disappointment that they used. Like an embarrassment, almost, is what they were talking about. And that's why they were getting drunk. They're like, yo, I need to lie to all of my friends and tell him that he's this hot shit, because he actually is nothing in his job. When, you know, that's life. Not everybody's the CEO. You have to have cleaners. You have to have mail clerks. And you have to have middle management. That's it. Yeah, but clearly these guys don't accept that. It must be the best. But what was I going to say? You spoke about the beginning and how they came in. And I agree with you. It kind of had a look of, you know what? I'm going to travel miles and miles to see my children and they won't even know. And as you said, to be fair, when they come here, when the parents get there, you're going to be like, oof, okay, I can't talk to you now. Let me deal with this thing. And then maybe, hopefully. But you'd think that them being children of their parents and the people being their parents, that after, let's say, 2 days, they would have said to their boss, all right, I'm going to take a little break. I need to at least have this much family time. Hmm. Even if it's 1 day,
let me just
do this. And one person did that. And again, that was another thing that was like clear, that they did this whole, I call it juxtaposition, but that may not be the correct word or the best or what I'm, the concept that I'm thinking of in my head. But this whole comparison of, or black and white sort of contrast, the contrasting situation where you have...
Still talking about cinematography.
Or whatever. Where you have the, what you'd call the real family and how they treat their parents, which isn't necessarily, they're not the worst, you know. They're just... Well, in a way, they are the worst, because what they've done is they're essentially, and there's some that are more blatant with it than others, but essentially they're like, parents, I have to waste my time with you now. And it goes from the high of that to the low of, boy, yeah, I was going to, you know, do something with you, but I have to go to work and I'm not going to tell them that. I'm not going to go to work, so bye. Right? And then there's a contrast of that with the blood relatives to the not blood relative who is kind of in the family through marriage, but there, you know, there's a war and people die and she's actually widowed, but she's still close to them. And she's like the best daughter ever. And that theme also plays through this movie. And it's, I think it's a big part of the culmination of the film. And, you know, this is one of those movies where you look at all the pieces and the bits and you're like, yeah, they're great things here. But at the end of the day, it just kept going around and around the same goddamn premise. And it's not something that's too complex for you to spend this long time figuring out. You're just like, oh, that's what this is. How are we going to play with this? And they don't play with it. They give you the underlying premise and they just keep hammering it home.
I actually kind of like the way they go around that same thing that you're talking about hammering home, because not necessarily because of the hammering part. Like I get you, right? But like there's so many movies that you watch where there's a narrative and you're moving and everything has to try and progress you in a step further, right? And sometimes it's a single focus narrative. It's one guy's perspective on life. And he's trying to get, so you can take something fun like Logan, and it's him trying to get from point A to point B at the end of the movie. And what I love about this movie and about the way Ozu goes about it is that he's not a point A to point B person. He's somebody who, when you start the movie, It's an emotional point A to point B, right? It's that moment at the beginning of the movie when husband and wife are in their house and talking about going to visit their children, to at the end of the movie where the husband is alone in the house and he's talking to the same neighbor he was at the beginning and going like, yeah, I guess it will get a little bit lonelier. And it's just kind of there and you're watching on to, I think there's a point really late in the movie with the good daughter-in-law, Noriko.
Naruto?
That show, I read somewhere recently that show officially ended. Like,
terrific!
Like, and there was a point where I went, holy shit, it's still going.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Wow. Anyways.
Oh god.
Noriko. Right. And she sits there and she starts to have a conversation with her father-in-law. And there's a line that comes up about how life can be disappointing. And it's just it's all of this to get to this point where you can all go with things suck, things are complicated, not everything falls into place the right way, but to just be plain and say sometimes it just disappoints you and be like, yeah, I guess that happens. And I don't think I can come around and say, Douglas, this is the import of the movie. I think this is our word of the day. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to come around and say, this is why this movie is beautiful to me. But it's definitely one of those things where it's one of those oil paintings you look at and you just kind of go, yeah, it kind of just came together for some reason or another. And it just works. Now, Damien,
hi.
Proceed.
Word. How many movies has this man made in his life?
Oh, you want a defined number?
Yeah, just give me like a general count.
54 as director.
Cool. I do not like Mr. Ozu. I've seen the 5 movies that we're going to watch in this thing. This week won't be as bad as last week. It won't be anywhere near as bad as the week, because we're doing I Was Born, but next week. It won't be, next week, I'm bringing the fire next week. This week, this is the movie where I can see where people would stop and go, this man, both his directing and the story he's trying to tell. It seems like the work of someone that has been making movies for a long time. Like, the reason it doesn't feel rushed at any point in the movie is because the director has decided that this movie is not going to be rushed. He's going to take his time with every aspect. He's going to show you what he wants to show you. So the movie feels long, partially because it is long, but mostly because the director wanted you to stay and linger in all of these scenes. That being said, I don't like this movie, not even a little bit. And this movie, what I realized after watching this movie again today, is that the problem this movie has is that it is too close to Ikiru. And if a movie is going to take a shot at the king, it best not miss. And this movie missed by a lot. If I have 2 movies to watch and one is Ikiru and the other one is any other movie, nothing is going to win that battle. This movie doesn't even come into the conversation. It's long. It's boring. Nothing happens. Kind of like the last movie, which was not as long, but was boring and nothing happened. And next week, hey, spoiler alert, the movie, 1.5 hours, there's no talking. It's still boring. In fact, you might say it's a carbon copy of the first movie. It's about children and a house and young kids that...
Are there sound effects? Are there sound effects? Just,
it's a silent film. Ah. So there's no sound effects. But boy, it is boring. And with no poop jokes, I can only imagine how you will survive. I suggest playing it at 2x the speed, because there's no dialogue, so you can get through it real quick. But... boy, I don't like his movies. Like, I came into the first time I watched Tokyo Story first, because it is the one with the highest IMDb score. So I said, I want whatever the benchmark is, and then I can move on and see, you know, how close or whatever. Watch this one, didn't much care for it, and then went, all right, maybe this is like a bad way to go about it. I'll watch the rest and then. But it's not getting any better. And rewatching them isn't helping. It's just pointing. Like, I'm doing the thing I do when we don't like movies. You find things to hate and you zero in on them. And even though you can see that this man has made 1,000, because like his camera work is on point all the time. Like, there's nothing, like, no person that just started out would make the decisions with a camera that he makes. But I do not like his storytelling. Like, it is the same problem that we had with, what's the other director that we did just before this?
3.
Yeah.
Tikvo,
yeah, right. Is this, Tikvo. Like, I don't think they can tell great stories. Like, the direction isn't the problem. Their storytelling is. And, like, this movie, I see where it wants to go.
I do. But 14 hours later, I don't care anymore. I just want the movie to end. And when it finally does end, it feels like a relief. And the lesson I have learned is don't watch 3-hour movies directed by Ozu. Not anything that he was trying to tell me. I don't, like, for the next 5 weeks, this will just be, like, you can just take this clip and just put it. I've seen all these movies. I do not like any of these movies. I, 5 out of 50 something is a bad way, because that's 10%, right? 10% shouldn't be, like, the thing that you use to benchmark an entire thing. But as an accountant, I will tell you, if you're auditing something, 10% is good enough to make an educated guess. And my educated guess is I do not like his movies. I do. Like, this week, it's the movies good enough where there's not much. Like, there's things to nitpick, but it's just nitpicky. And it's just, I can start from the start of the movie to the end of the movie, and it will take hours and hours.
Please don't, because it will take us too
long. Right, it takes hours and hours, and I don't want to do that because I don't care enough. But next week, I'm bringing the fire next week. Because that movie, holy shit.
I'm going to ask you in future to refrain from predicting the future.
Yes.
not because you're not right.
Uh-huh.
But because I don't want him to go in with those thoughts.
Like, it's the thing with that's why I'm not talking about the two after next. Next week, he'll see immediately. Both of you will see right away what my issue with next week movie is.
Oh, is it a musical?
Oh, no. But it will be clear in, I don't know, 5 minutes into that movie. You go, all right. Damian hates this movie. But this one, like, it wants to be Ikiru and will never get there. There's just no shot. Like, and so this movie, like, I want to, like, put down the acting or whatever, but that's just because I'm benchmarking it against Ikiru and I shouldn't do that. But on a whole, the movie didn't do anything for me. Like, it's just, this man and his stories, I don't like them. I do not like them. How about next week?
So you're 0 for 2 so far?
I'm 0 for 5.
0 for 2? Right, those weeks haven't happened yet.
I'm 0 for 2, yes. I'm 0 for 2. Next week, I'll be super O. Like, a bold O for 3. Like, font size 144 / and then, like, 12:3. Next week.
Yes, and I am 1 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you, except I am the right 1 for 2. Right? And you are the wrong 1 for 2. Because I think Damian can at least appreciate that if anybody likes any of these movies, liking it for shenanigans is the right way to go.
Fart jokes.
Yeah.
While I disagree with Douglas wholeheartedly, if you're a man likes fart jokes, he's right as an American to like fart jokes.
So next
the
week.
The First Amendment of the Constitution.
Right.
So next week we'll be discussing his 1932 film, I Was Born But... ...
It sucks. It's in brackets.
And that's it there.